and welcome to episode 13 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on a Budget. And I'm joined tonight by my co-host, a man who is more popular in Spain than Julio and Enrique Iglesias combined. And on that point, hola y bienvenido al episodio 13 de A View from the Dugout. Conmigo, Chris, de Surrey on a Budget. Y mi co-anfitrión, Russ, de Scotland Surrey. Russ, ¿cómo estás?
Gracias. Nutras oyentes españolas.
Appears that we could both speak Spanish. Now, I believe there was a few episodes ago I claimed to be able to speak a bit of Spanish, and I was rubbished for that claim, and you claimed the only Spanish I knew was from Dora. But it appears we both maybe surprised each other with our multilingual, languages, knowledge, whatever way you want to put it. But the reason we've kind of broke into a little bit of Spanish at the start of the podcast there was we've kind of posted a little bit about being, you know, we've been able to chart in the British charts, and I think we've been as high as fifth on multiple occasions in the British charts on the Apple Podcasts for fantasy sports. Now, this is actually from the chartable.com website. Log into it. You can have a look at it. You'll see all the data there. It's all true. And I'm just going to quickly run through these countries, Russ, that we've actually charted in at the moment, and then I'll give the news about Spain. So we have Great Britain, Canada, Australia, Germany, Sweden, New Zealand, and we were number one, and we have been number one for seven consecutive days in the Spanish fantasy sports charts. And not only that, we were actually 87th in the sports category as well. And here's one. I think you might have a bit of language for this one. We've also charted in the Netherlands for the first time, I believe. I think we got to fifth in that one. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, with the Netherlands, I'm absolutely delighted because it allows me to do a very, very, very poor man, Steve McLaren. So all I will say is dankje ons Nederlandse luisterers ben je ook fucking geweldig. And that's terrible, I know. But it's basically, it's a thank you to listeners also in the Netherlands, along with our listening base in Spain, which could be made up of certainly people out on holiday in Spain, but also maybe some Spanish listeners. So I think that the main point is the podcast success. It's down to the people that listen. You know, obviously we make the content, but ultimately it's everybody listening and staying loyal to the pod, which allows us to make this great, you know, great wee show and have a lot of fun doing it and fill it up with a bit of nonsense, but also hopefully some useful information around Surrey and what's happening in some of the sort of leagues, etc. So yeah, just a big thanks.
Yeah, no, it's something I'm quite proud of as well. Nothing I expected to either. When I logged in to look at the charts and I see we were actually in the sports chart, not just the fantasy sports chart, I was astonished by that, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, thank you to everybody. And that's why we were doing the giveaway, which we will announce the winner later in the podcast. You're going to have to wait a wee bit before we give the winner out. But no, it's been fantastic. And it's something that I didn't expect. And at the end of the day, this is just two mates, you know, chewing the fat and just talking about football and something that we do. You know, we would do this on the phone. I think we've mentioned that several times. You know, go back a year, we'd be on the phone for an hour each night just talking about football and Surrey. And now we do it as a podcast. So I've thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it.
I think the other thing, Chris, just before we sort of move on to all things football and our topics for the week, the sort of commercial aspect of the podcast, and you know, we've not really done an awful lot with it, if we're being honest, to our listeners. But when podcasts get lots of listens, you get an element of people and companies and brands become aware and look at these charts to think of who they're going to, you know, sponsor, etc. And we've often said we're not here for the sort of financial gain of it, but if there's any sort of, you know, sports related or football related, whether it's kits or you know merch, anything like that comes from this, we'll be giving away everything, you know, and it'll be to the people that listen to the show. So fingers crossed, it'll be the, obviously we've got our giveaway tonight, which is predominantly Surrey based, but fingers crossed we'll have some more things coming for the for the listeners very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, thank you all for listening and putting up with, quite frankly, some pretty shite banter sometimes from myself and Russ. But, you know, so long as we entertain one person, then happy days. But speaking of that, one thing that has definitely been a hit in recent weeks, Russ, would definitely be a bit of a retro chat. It seems to be something that definitely rings true with our listeners, probably mostly aged about our age as well. So when you think of nostalgia, it's always, you kind of go back to your childhood and when football was great, you know, because you didn't know much about it. You had your players you liked. And something I just looked at last night, and I posted a little bit about it, was I've decided I'm going to get myself a little bit of kind of football memorabilia type things, just whether it be signed pictures or whatever, of footballers that I really enjoyed as a kid. And I thought we'd maybe have a little bit of chat about, you know, our favourite players when we were younger, even maybe into today kind of thing. But I mean, I'll start us off, and mine is an easy one to start me off with, and it was the first person I searched for last night, and that has to be Bobby Baggio. Roberto Baggio was one of my favourites. That ponytail, I believe he was known as the Divine Ponytail. And I just thought he was the absolute business. So I found a couple of jerseys that were alleged to be match issued, not necessarily match worn. And but how do we look at some of these things and signed pictures and signed, you know, different memorabilia? So I've actually got a few bids on things on eBay that the missus does not know about as of yet. And we'll keep it that way. But I'll start that off with Roberto Baggio. Have you got any, if you had a player to kind of first come to your mind?
I've got a few, obviously depending on the era, but as a kid, Dundee United, obviously Kevin Gallagher, being that explosive young forward that broke through, was a favourite. Ruud Gullit was obviously a huge favourite of mine. You know, that 1988, as we mentioned last week about the kit and stuff, but just that whole sort of Dutch side, you know, big fan. You know, I loved most of their players. You know, Ronald Koeman, I just loved the way he could take a free kick and a penalty. You know, Van Basten, obviously, you know, who wouldn't like, you know, Marco Van Basten at that era? But yeah, Ruud Gullit and Kevin Gallagher were the sort of first ones. It still pains and grates me to this day that Duncan Ferguson only has 7 Scotland caps and obviously had his infamous fallout with the SFA. He obviously was just as close to that world-class striker that Scotland could have had for that 12, 13-year period that could have fed off James McFadden crosses and scored many an important goal possibly for Scotland. Duncan Ferguson was obviously another huge, huge favourite of mine. And I've got obviously a lot of admiration for certainly a lot of the sort of Scottish internationals and things as well. So yeah, that's probably the favourites.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to flesh it out a wee bit as well, I mean, Gullit, who doesn't love Ruud Gullit? I mean, that iconic head of hair with the tash, be it whether he had the AC Milan top on or he had, you know, his Dutch top on or whatever, it was that was just an iconic look. And I think I mentioned one a few weeks ago, Toto Scalacci was the first player I ever knew the name of, and that was really from the World Cup Italia 90. And I think Klinsmann, bizarrely, was one that I always liked as well, Jurgen Klinsmann. I was a striker when I was a kid, so you're talking, you know, if you're looking at like 98 and 94, probably 94, 96, that was like when I was 13, 14, 15. And that was kind of like a top striker that I would definitely look at. And I unfortunately probably emulated the diving aspect of his game probably far too much. I was one of those. I think we've talked about Dundee players and things in the past, so I'm probably not going to dwell on some of those. But I think from an international point of view, and also the one I did put a bid in on something for, there was a 94 World Cup 94 collector cards. And there was a series of them. Batistuta was one of them. And there was also a Kinesia one. So I've got a bid on that one. I was actually hoping for a Maradona one, but obviously I think with Maradona's passing, a lot of the memorabilia with his likeness on it, you know, is worth a lot more than it was, you know, 2-3 years ago. So I would like to certainly get something with, I don't think I can afford something with Maradona's signature on it, but, you know, if I could get a, you know, handwritten one anyway. You could definitely get a printed one, do you know what I mean? But that'd be something like that. I think you've got a couple of interesting memorabilia items, don't you?
Yeah, I've been quite lucky. I've got quite a lot of sports memorabilia, to be honest. Obviously, I was, as you know, I had a sort of company that was involved in sort of professional darts and things, which mm-hmm. opened quite a few doors into darts and boxing memorabilia. Those sports kind of go bizarrely quite well linked, just with a lot of the boxing guys follow the darts and things. But yeah, also I do have quite a bit of sort of football memorabilia, and I've sort of had a few sort of links with sort of family members and distant family members being in the pro game, which has been quite interesting. But I suppose the most sort of iconic pieces of memorabilia, I've got one that's probably the most iconic and I've got one that's a favourite, so I'll quickly tell you. So the most iconic was in probably about 1984-85, and that was George Best. And George Best was reportedly in the little town of Kirriemuir that I've mentioned in the podcast previously, which is where I grew up as a kid. And it was rumoured that George Best was going to be in one of the pubs, which that wouldn't probably shock many people, given that George Best liked to drink. Now, bear in mind, obviously, George Best is a Ballon d'Or winner, probably was at that, certainly at that point, Northern Ireland's greatest ever player. And obviously was a global name from his time at Manchester United. But what had happened was, while he was at Manchester United in the late 60s, he'd actually become good friends with Frank Capel. Now, Frank Capel was a Scottish player, left-back, that played for Manchester United for a couple of seasons, not many times, admittedly, before playing for Blackburn Rovers and then my beloved Dundee United. And Frank had a pub in Kirriemuir. And what had actually happened was George Best at that point, I'd like to say dating, but I have to probably just be honest, given George Best's reputation and the fact that he was shagging, I believe, a Miss World or a Miss Scotland that was actually incidentally from just outside Kirriemuir. So apologies for the terminology. However, I've just got to be honest, and that's why George Best was up here. So George Best, obviously, he was up. And sure enough, he was in Kirriemuir, and it was all over the sort of the local press that George Best was in Kirriemuir. So my dad went out that night, and I just remember him saying to me, "I'm going to get you a really famous autograph." And sure enough, he came home probably pretty drunk about 3-4 hours later, and I'd stayed up. And sure enough, he passed me this book, and in it was a personally signed, you know, to Russell, blah, 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 greatest, you know, all the best wishes, et cetera, things like that, and George Best signature in it. And I absolutely, you know, treasured that little book that's now, what, 35, 40 years old.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good wee story. Obviously, just for MD that's listening, that's not from the area, Frank Capel was actually quite instrumental, because he was one of the first footballers that came to prominence in relation to dementia for heading the ball. And his good lady wife, Amanda Capel, she obviously had the campaign with the Scottish government, which brought in what was called Frank's Law, which was basically, it was like a care programme for people under the age of 65. And Frank Capel died, I think he was under 65 when he died.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously quite instrumental and quite important sort of culturally in Scotland as well. His son, Scott Capel, as you probably remember, was on Dundee United's books, and he played for a few of the youngest teams and things as well. So yeah, a good football and sort of family. A story that almost sounds unbelievable given the little town and obviously where we're located up here in Scotland. But yeah, that's definitely the sort of the favourite one.
Excellent. Just, you know what, I'm gonna divert from what we were going to talk about for just 2 seconds, because something you mentioned there was just triggered me on it, and we've not told this story yet. About, I don't know, 6-7 months ago, Russ messaged me, or actually I think he might just phone me out of the blue, and basically he'd been having a conversation with his old man, his dad, regarding you know, the whole Sarair thing and stuff like that. And he said to him something along the lines of, "Oh yeah, I've seen you speaking to Alex Ladd about that stuff on Facebook." And to which Russ questioned, "Who do you mean?" He's like, "Oh, the boy, is it Chris?" And he's like, "Aye, well, how do you know Alec?" And it turns out that my dad and Russ's dad worked together for donkey's years. And it only just came up now. my dad knows of Russ. He was at my birthday a few years ago and things like that. And it was never mentioned that they both worked together for years. So in this weird world of ours, our dads had actually worked together for years in a factory in Forfar called Don and Lowe's. And just as a complete aside, when you mentioned your dad there, it just triggered me to remember that, just to mention it.
That was a little bit of a surreal moment, given how long we'd known each other and mentioned each other to probably our parents and things. Yeah, so
yeah just all good.
So we'll slide on to some surreal actual based stuff.
Absolutely.
So if you're running this, just before I do that, I'm just gonna run for the working man. Right, so we're. Usual kind of surreal chat in terms of our game weeks, Russ. How have you been this last week before I tell you my tales of woe?
What I found, I won Ethereum, missed out on a card based on one of my super rares not playing in what I thought was a calculated move. I really was going all gung-ho for a card on the global. Super rares, and everything worked apart from the Japanese midfielder that basically ended up not playing, and everybody else played and scored heavily. You know, I'm talking like 80, 90, 100 points from all the rest of the players, yeah. And that cost me a card, which was a little bit disappointing. What I would say, rather than actually going into my own game week and things, I think I found this last week the market's still been slow. Yeah. I've not had near as many offers. I don't know if our listeners are kind of feeling the same, that they're not able to sell players quite as, you know, quite as easily as in past weeks. I found that actually even my offers and my bids, and it's not even a case of getting like derogatory offers in, it's just been really, really slow. And just, I don't know if people are just going, do you know what, I'm not even going to send this. And I think there's an element of fear. My own thought around it is that there's a sort of small element of fear that Ethereum obviously is on its knees right now, and it's, if I sell this, if I buy this card, say for 0.1, and then Ethereum rockets, you know, and then you've got that process of the old fiat Ethereum argument, which we'll not go into today. However, I think there's an element of fear around what maybe people would perceive as buying a card for too much Ethereum, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I could see that, because to be honest, I haven't had anything listed for about a week. And I only just listed some stuff last night because it kind of stabilized a little bit around the kind of £900 mark. And it kind of made me just think, well, look, I've got a few cards there. I'm looking to sell. They're excess cards that I've not got in my game weeks, and they probably won't fit in my game weeks coming up and things like that. So it was mostly limited. And to be fair, one sold almost right away, and I had offers on others. But I mean, I'm talking at a different scale because, I mean, that's looking at selling cards for £4 and £5. Do you know what I mean? It's not selling cards for 50 or 60. Your margin for error when you're buying a card for a fiver is a lot, you know, a lot bigger than if you spend one at £50 and all of a sudden, you know, it changes and it's like £30. You know, so there is that margin error there. But I've been kind of reluctant to buy some cards as well, just kind of similar thought process. But tonight I've kind of been like, right, I need to make a couple of moves just to strengthen ahead of the summer. And in order to do that, I am going to need to bite the bullet and sell some cards. So I do have a few things listed now, and I have seen a couple of things coming through in terms of, you know, offers. And do you know what? If I look at it and I think, right, I've priced all my stuff kind of like the lower end. Most of them are actually the lowest price on the market, but some of them are, you know, if I've got a higher percentage on the card, I've got it, you know, maybe third or fourth lowest. But yeah, I could see where you're coming from in terms of that. I think people will get a bit more confidence in it over the next. Well, I mean, over the next couple of weeks, people are going to have to, if you want to build up a European team, aren't you? Realistically, if you, but you know, especially looking at the goalkeeper aspect of things, because if you don't have your goalkeeper in place over the next kind of 3-4 weeks, you might well be in a situation where, you know, you're going to have to overpay to get a goalkeeper in ahead of the changes in August. So, yeah, that was where I was at with that. I mean, I'll quickly just touch on my game week. I had a situation where I got a card. It was a tier three limited, that is. I was 1,065th and I still got a card, which is a wee bit bonkers when you look at it that way. But it was a card that was only worth about £1.20 or something like that. But the guys actually left Konyaspor and moved to a different team in Turkey. So I'm going to hold them, see what happens with that. But that was with only four cards playing. And everybody, I think my lowest score, I'm just looking at just now, my lowest score was 63.2. I had 78, 66 and 91.6. And my goalkeeper, Jailson, the man that I've been enamoured with, my 40-year-old goalkeeper, was a DNP. Apparently had some sort of leg muscle injury. But I have seen today that not only is he back for the weekend, he's also signing a new one-year deal, playing on to he's 41, which is, I might keep him forever. He seems like a bit of a legend to me. He also looks on his card like a bouncer. Do you know what I mean? Looks like a real hard case that if you went near him, you'd probably just go, do you know what, mate? Just have the ball. Just have it. I'm out of here. So, yeah, that was it. I mean, there wasn't an awful lot to talk about beyond that. I've just been kind of looking forward to the summer, really. Obviously, I've got big life things going on just now in terms of the baby being due in a couple of weeks. So that's probably going to take me past the kind of pre-season and into the European season, which is probably why I'm looking to try to tie up some loose ends in case, you know, obviously time becomes a bit more scarce when you've got a newborn kicking about. So I don't know how you feel, but just moving on to kind of talking about what we spoke about in terms of looking at, you know, obviously you're talking 5-6 weeks until the common cards are gone from the rear leagues, Russ.
Yeah.
So I think we kind of we touched on it earlier on. We obviously get a lot of questions. You get them, I get them, and then they're coming through to the podcast account as well. And it's predominantly around, you know, the goalkeepers for Scotland and things like that. And I think, you know, that's obvious because that's the kind of knowledge that we've got. But it's not the only knowledge that we've got, especially when it comes to looking at goalkeepers. I mean, you've got a fair few rare goalkeepers. You've been fortunate enough to build up over the time. Yeah. So we don't just know about kind of Scottish football, although that's kind of our niche, I suppose, if you want to put it that way. But I just thought it might be worth looking at, you know, obviously the impact hasn't hit yet, I don't think. You know, if you look at the prices, I don't think the prices have rocketed as much as they have in terms of ETH, obviously, because, you know, the price disparities, you know, I paid 0.3 for Liam Kelly and now it's 0.7 or so is his 3-day average. So obviously they've changed, but the pound value is there or thereabouts. So when do you think that's going to start to really rattle into folk? Do you think people have already picked cards up, you know, to have even a DNP goalkeeper? Or do you think we're still looking at maybe being 3-4 weeks before the panic sets in?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people did. Certainly when the announcement was made.
Yeah.
And I know that, sort of, you know, certainly a lot of the guys that I chat to on a sort of, you know, certainly on a weekly basis or, you know, in like little group chats or something like that, you know, Facebook Messenger and stuff. Guys that I've known for 20 years or whatever that have started playing that are playing at a sort of relatively low budget level. They all bought a keeper of sorts when that announcement came out. Now, most of them were number twos, but number twos that had actually been on the bench and that had hopefully, I've got a little bit of a chance of a game based on, you know, injury, suspension, etc., and had at least played a couple of games. So I certainly know that the guys that I spoke to quite regularly, I know that quite a few of them had picked up goalkeepers. I'm guessing that was probably the case right across the board. I remember the day that it happened, there was a goalkeeper spike in price. And it very quickly, it only lasted about 4 or 5 days and then it went back to normal.
Yeah.
Now, again, everybody at the moment, we've had this, I think, like a couple of people have said, we've had this, what feels like an extended season. We've had the Nations League that's kind of went on and, you know, went over the last couple of weeks. And now we've got this sort of 2-week sort of break or a week and a half break, which I think it was it just the K-League last week that was...
For the midweek just now, yeah. Just
for midweek just now, it's just the K-League, which, yeah. being as honest as I can be, I've got zero interest in. I don't have any players. I keep getting offered players for swaps and things. And for me, it's just a league that I've never had any interest in my life. And I'm just not going to want any players in. But from the same token, even this week, I looked and thought, do I pick up a couple of players just so that I can play for the week? And I opted no. I just thought, no, do you know what? You don't need it. Let's just miss a midweek game week. The MLS kind of gets back into a bit more full swing now. I did notice, obviously, at the weekend there that there was quite a few guys had kind of, that I've been hedging my bets on, scoring decent points that delivered for me,
yeah,
which makes things quite interesting. I think, you've got this now, what's it, 5-6 weeks with the common goalkeepers, that there'll be guys hoping that they can maybe certainly at least scrape some Ethereum wins.
Yep.
Now that's going to feel, Ethereum wins right now is going to feel as though you've kind of hit the jackpot, because the amount of Ethereum that you'll win with hitting the thresholds. Me personally, I'm looking and thinking about saving up a little bit of Ethereum in the hope that the price climbs. I think that's going to be my tactic. Whether I'm able to do that from a disciplined point of view or not, because I keep finding players and going, oh, should I buy him, should I not? However, what I often do, and I think we've both said this on Twitter, on our sort of on our own accounts, that we write out our teams, we list our teams, our spreadsheet our teams, and we look at what we've got for the next few months. And again, I'm relatively content personally. A lot of the guys I've been speaking to in my DMs and things, they're doing a little elements of restructuring at the moment. There is, I think, most people have now got certainly at least one eye on Europe. I think you hit the nail on the head, Chris, when you were mentioning about getting lots of DMs about Scottish keepers and Scottish league keepers. It's actually, in truth, for me, it's the league that I would avoid for a keeper at the moment. We've said openly, and I think there's only the one keeper that we kind of disagree on, but the rest out of the 12 clubs, we do. But right now, I think there's better value in either the Jupiler, so the Belgian, or the Russian league. You know, I think there's good keepers there that are really so much safer number ones than the Scottish League, which is looking really unpredictable still at the moment. You know, we're sitting the 22nd of June. Clubs have actually resumed their pre-season training in Scotland already. Feels as though there's been no sort of close season. And some of the clubs are still arguably keeperless.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. I mean, I've kind of got that as we go through, but the... I mean, obviously, yeah, there's probably... two clubs for definite that are keeperless at the moment. One still has a dubious keeper at the, you know, at the helm, and are making some big changes. So we could probably go through that. But just to kind of look at that, I've got a few goalkeepers written down and some details kind of thereabouts. I don't know if you want to kind of go through some of those just now. And so I went with what I know. So the leagues that I kind of focused on last year were really kind of like Austria and Turkey were the ones I focused on. Now, Turkey, there was a lot of older goalkeepers in Turkey. So for me, that was a wee bit of a... And it's a term that I've been hauled over the coals for before with abuse for using the term sketchy. But it certainly is a wee bit sketchy with the age of some of the goalkeepers in Turkey. So I've kind of skittered around the edges of those. But the first one I'm going to look at is Austria, to be honest. I've got three from Austria, and then I've got two from Scotland, one that's safe as houses, and one I put down just so we could have the debate. So, the first one I put down, I don't know if you want to take turns at doing it rather than just me speaking for 5 minutes. The first one I put down was René Sweaty, or is it Sweet, from Hartberg. Now, he's actually got a three-day average price at the moment. I just went and checked what it is in pounds. And it's 470 quid. Now, he's not just their goalkeeper, he's their captain. So 470 quid for a starting goalkeeper. They avoided relegation at the end of the season. I've always said that a lot of the Austrian cards are underpriced considerably. But these keepers that I've picked out of the Austrian league are three starters. You know, there's not any debate about them. It's three starters. So, he was number one last season. I think he missed a couple of games through injury, but beyond that, clear number one. And if you're getting that for sub 500 quid, I don't see what's wrong with that, to be honest. So do you want to go next?
Yeah, I've got one. I hold him in my gallery myself. You can pick him up just now for 550 odd quid on the secondary market. And it's Igor Akinfeev. He's the most decorated sort of goalkeeper now in Russian history. You know, he's eclipsed the great legend Lev Yashin that gets the FIFA Ultimate Team legend card, icon card every year. Akinfeev just signed a new contract.
He's
a fantastic keeper. You know, this is a genuine world-class keeper that has, he's the club captain. He retired, obviously, I think I mentioned it before, maybe in one of the very first podcasts. He retired from international duty to concentrate, I think, just to get another couple of seasons as obviously the sort of the number one, and to maintain his sort of fitness and things. He obviously is at CSK Moscow. But yeah, he's for me a really easy pick. I hold him myself, and I plan on using him personally in both global and possibly one of my sort of rare pro teams this year. So that would be an easy one for me.
Yeah, good shout. Next one's actually going to be one that I've held on two separate occasions, and I sold on the last day of the season because I got anxious when SV Riyadh were looking like it was potentially they were going to go down, having missed out on the top six on the last day. And that was Samuel Sahin Radlinger. He sat in my gallery for the longest time. Again, I felt he was underpriced. He does have a tendency to have some poorer games, but by the same token, he also has the big games as well. Just had a look there. He's the clear number one. He was actually linked with Austria Vienna in the close season. I think they just picked up the new goalkeeper. I think they got a goalkeeper on loan from Bayern Munich. So he's sitting there. The coach has said he's the clear number one. And he is 510 quid as his three-day average. So again, these are going to be prices you're probably going to have to look at auctions for, because the other ones, if you're looking at what people have got them listed at on the market, people inflate it. They always do. So, but that's what he's going for in the auctions, 510 quid, again, for a clear number one starting goalkeeper. So, and he's, as I say, Austrian League. I had no problem with him other than a couple of times towards the end of the season where the whole team kind of just stuttered over the line and kind of escaped the grasp of relegation on the last day of the season. But yeah, that would be my choice. Well, my second pick there, Russ. I don't know.
I've got this one's slightly more expensive, to be honest. And I actually held him and used him myself quite a bit last year. And the reason I did this was because his understudy was, honestly, it was like £30, £40. And it was Daniel Schmidt at St. Troyden,
mm-hmm.
or STVV.
Yep.
Seems very reliable. He does get called up for the Japan international team and doesn't get used as such. But he's coming in round about the £700 mark, which is a little bit more expensive. However, I think he played all but, I think it was two games last season. And as I say, the understudy, Kenny Stepp, was, you're talking £25 to £40, which is to get both goalkeepers and kind of cover yourself in the event of sort of injury, suspension. Yeah. It's quite a sensible tactic. And obviously, we've mentioned it quite on social media quite a few times as a good policy. But yeah, that would be probably my second pick.
Yeah, the next one I've got, again, sticking in Austria, was Tino Casale from Altach. Now, they avoided relegation on the last day of the season. It was a bit of a miracle. But again, he was the clear number one right the way through the season. He did have an injury where he had to get stitches in his knee or something like that. So he missed about four or five games. But his price now, the average price that's on the market there is sitting at under 400 quid. However, there was actually one sold just yesterday for 537 quid. So again, you're still talking around about that 500 quid mark. Again, a starting goalkeeper, clear number one. The backup's not too expensive either. In fact, the backup for Riyadh just left. He's gone to Admira, who were relegated. So his, you're sketchy for a backup for SV Riyadh, but for Altach, the backup isn't that expensive either. But that's three goalkeepers from the Austrian League, and all of them 500 quid, give or take. I don't think any of those are bad pickups, and could definitely be something that if I could raise some extra ETH over the next the next few weeks, I might look to pick up a third goalkeeper and run three teams. So yeah, that's where I'm at with that one, Russ.
My final one that's certainly not from the Scottish leagues. It's a guy called Ruud Boffin, Belgian goalkeeper that plays for Antalyaspor in the Turkish league. Now, he's really, he's one of these guys. He's under £400 at the moment. Now, there has been talk of him possibly moving back to the Belgian league and things. I've not seen anything concrete at all. Perhaps if Surrey Turkey or Surrey Belgium happen to have a listen and see anything, they'll be probably more than more than delighted to sort of point us out in any new sort of media articles, etc. However, I had to be checked there just now, and I've not seen anything. He's certainly a very capable keeper that I would expect to be a number one, at least for the next season. I think he's 33 or 34 years of age. But I think just purely on the fact that he's coming in under £400 at the moment, so, you know, that's quite enticing. So that would be my third one.
Yeah, I would agree on that one. That was one that, again, it was just looking at the Turkish league and just looking at the ages of some of the goalkeepers. But age is nothing when it comes to the goalkeepers. You know, we just spoke about Gielson being 40 and signing a new deal that'll take him into his, you know, 41. So I suppose sometimes you kind of need to look past the age when you do look at a goalkeeper, really, don't you? So the last two that I've got, one we'll both agree on, one that you just hinted at that we both completely agree on, was Liam Kelly and Motherwell. Again, if I'm just going to mention two Scottish ones purely on the basis that this is what we do get asked about. Liam Kelly, clear number one at Motherwell. Scotland's international goalkeeper now, him and Xander Clark were between, you know, who was going to be number two to Craig Gordon. And Craig Gordon's not going to run forever as the Scotland goalkeeper. So at some point, you know, Liam Kelly and or Xander Clark are both going to have to get chances at the Scotland number one ship. You can pick him up at the moment. Let me just bring that up exactly. But he has been, you know, if you look at his scores, they're not great. I think he actually shows as a 10 average at the moment. But that was from the 6-0 demolition when Celtic were basically raising the flag. So, yeah, you're looking at about 0.7 for him at the moment. And that price is increasing steadily. I think the cheapest on the market is actually 0.815. So that's about 720 quid. So that's a bit more expensive, but that is a clear, without question, number one goalkeeper. And the backup there, I haven't seen any news of them moving, but I'm sure I've seen that Scott Fox, is it Scott Fox, isn't it?
Scott Fox that was at like Spartak and things. Yeah. I don't know if he is going to be the number two next year.
I'm sure I've seen something about him signing, but you know, it's one of those where we've seen a few things recently where, you know, they're expected to sign, but we've not seen anything until people come back from holidays, I guess. But yeah, that was the one I've seen on there. I guess, I mean, you're going to agree on that one totally, aren't you? Because that's the one outside Joe Hart that we spoke about that was the nailed on starter.
I think the nailed on starters, you know, Joe Hart and Liam Kelly. And for me, that's it. And I know that we've got a kind of difference of opinion on Ross County's Ross Laidlaw.
Yeah.
But as things stand, Ross Laidlaw should start the season as the number one. I just don't quite have the confidence in him for remaining the number one. I hope for your sake, because you hold him as a rail, don't you?
I do hold him.
But you've got the number two Ross Monroe as well.
I have Ross Monroe as well. Ross Monroe's obviously a lot more expensive. He did play the last game of the season, but that was obviously when County had nothing to play for. Now, the obviously last season, the Maynard Brewer was on loan at Ross County. Right. And he did, you know, Ross Laidlaw started the season. I think he played the first four or five games and he was dropped for Maynard Brewer. And the one thing that I counter that with in terms of the fear, because that was one of the big things I looked at, because 500 quid to me was what I paid for him. And 500 quid to me is a hell of a lot of money. And I looked at everything. Ross County's turnaround from the bottom of the league, because they were rock bottom of the league, and their turnaround completely coincided with Ross Laidlaw going back to their goalkeeper, being in the sticks, basically, being their number one. And that was when their season turned around. And they had Maynard Brewer back on the bench. And he was there until the end of the season when he got injured and then went back down south. And that's when Ross Monroe got a run out. The only downside to Ross Laidlaw would be is, and I've caveated it, I've said he's probably 95%, you know, starter. The only 5% would be, in my opinion, is if they bring somebody else in. That's possible, but that could happen at any club.
Of course.
And I would counter that again, looking at the Joe Hart situation. Joe Hart didn't have any pressure on him last season whatsoever from a number two. Scott Bain and Barkas were no competition to Joe Hart. I think that's fair to say. And what I would say is Celtic have now signed arguably the second best keeper in Scotland in Benji Seagrist, in terms of shot stopping and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, to me, that puts a lot of pressure back on Joe Hart. Do we see the old Joe Hart start to come back out where he's more error prone and more prone to making mistakes because now he has got somebody breathing down his neck? And it's a 4-year deal Seagrist signed. So to think he's not going to be, you know, looked at as a long-term number one for Celtic would be silly, I think, especially when you look at Joe Hart's age. I know he's still got time on his contract and he was excellent for them last season, but he didn't have anybody breathing down his neck. And now that he does, I just, you know, there's always been question marks over his mentality, I think, in that aspect at every club that he's been to. And even at City, you know, he was prone to a mistake. So I wonder now, with Seagrass breathing down his neck, is that going to be an opportunity that now is Joe Hart as safe as houses as he once was? You know, I'm going to put, I'll maybe put a £1 wager, you know, like what was the Trading Places, was it? Where they had the $1 wager. And I'm going to wager that by Christmas, Seagrass is the number one at Celtic.
Oof.
I'm going to put a wee £1 wager on that. We'll bookmark that and we'll come back to that. But yeah, just looking at Laidlaw, that was just my opinion on that one. And I think Joe Hart now is maybe not the 100% certainty. He will start the season in number one.
Definitely, yeah.
But when those errors start to happen, you know what it's like at the Old Firm. One mistake and you are hounded for it, because that allows the other team the chance to slide in.
It's actually quite interesting because, like, Joe Hart, many people maybe from, you know, from certainly from other nations out with Scotland and maybe even out with England as well, you know, or sort of Ireland, UK as a whole, or maybe look and think Joe Hart's the best keeper in the league, but he's not. Craig Gordon's the best, still the best keeper in the league. Unfortunately, he doesn't have a card. But Craig Gordon is the best, is without a shadow of a doubt. And that's, you know, that's not opinion, that's Optus statistics.
Yeah,
Craig Gordon's number one. Joe Hart, obviously, Celtic are in a position like Rangers in the fact that they don't concede a lot of goals. Mm-hmm. That reflects in the Optus scoring and the clean sheets, etc., that these guys will get. If you put Joe Hart, say, for example, in the Aberdeen goal or the, you know, Motherwell goal, for example, they wouldn't be scoring probably much higher than the likes of Liam Kelly or Joe Lewis have over the course of the season. It happens to be the fact that, you know, teams go to Celtic Park and they'll maybe come away with three shots off target and one shot on target, given the, you know, the mentality of the setup when you go to the big two in Glasgow. You know, I think we've seen last year with, and you know, Alan McGregor has just signed a new deal for Rangers, and as things stand, we don't have Rangers cards in the game, other than the ones that were from other clubs. But you've got a situation where Alan McGregor made quite a few high-profile mistakes last year. You know, the one that springs to mind was against Hearts. You know, he was shambolic against Hearts. And, you know, even there, you're looking, thinking, well, who's going to start as number one? Is it now time that John McLaughlin gets his opportunity and McGregor becomes the cup keeper with the lesser game? And I hate to use that term, but that's the reality in Scottish football, that if you're playing bottom of the league, you might change the keeper. It's going to be interesting. Certainly, it's going to be interesting in the Scottish leagues. So,
yeah.
I suppose on that note, have you got a list of Scottish news? I've got some bits and bobs before we do a comp.
I should probably have caveated what I just said there again, not to sound like anybody blaming Sarir Sharp for my shortcomings. I should have caveated, I mean, when I was talking about the cards, you know, the goalkeepers that have cards, I would have said Seagrass was number two out of the Scottish League from that aspect. Obviously, Craig Gordon, if he gets a card in the game, again, you'd have to look at his age, though, again, I suppose. So anyhow, I've actually gone through club by club so we can have a wee look at the signings over the last week, maybe a wee bit of speculation ones, and also maybe just a wee bit where have the team got a specific need that we could see, you know, that might be a position where people might want to shy away from or anything like that. So I've got an alphabetical order. Start with Aberdeen. Aberdeen have made three defensive signings in the last couple of days. They signed Liam Scales on a one-year loan deal from Celtic. And I was interested to see both him and David Bates with a shock of ginger hair running about at the back. That could be a good one. And they also signed Jaden Richardson from Nottingham Forest. Now, he'd been on loan to the National League last season. So it depends on the step up. And but one that they did sign, which has had high recommendations and a fan base almost in tears about him leaving, was Anthony Stewart from Wickham, that they signed, I think it was late last night, I believe, that late Tuesday night. Now, he's come with high recommendations. On the post where Wickham announced that he'd moved, it was like a national mourning that the boy had left. So he's coming with high, high CV, basically, or high recommendations. So those were the ones that I'd seen Aberdeen had actually picked up. I don't know if you've any thoughts on any of those players in particular.
No, not really. I suppose probably worth mentioning, just I think at the point of last week's podcast, these were obviously funded by the sale of Calvin Ramsey, which the deal has gone through now, yes, but he's joined Liverpool. So you've now got probably arguably a, if you've got a Calvin Ramsey card, you've now probably got a Liverpool under 23 slash League Cup sort of card there for a season. But yeah, I think Anthony Stewart, I seen everything on social media, seems to be quite the loss for Wickham. Should probably come up and do quite well. Aberdeen have got history of bringing up sort of English defenders. You know, Ash Taylor came up and done well. Yeah. Denervin Daniels came up and done well. You know, Aberdeen seem to do quite well with their defensive ones. I did put a generic post on the Scotland Surreyor Twitter tonight for some of the players in the Scottish League, Chris, that have got that should have a red X against them. And based on Aberdeen, Michael Ruth is the one that's now at Queen of the South, which is obviously well below the scoring leagues. But yeah, apart from that, nothing else in Aberdeen.
No, I mean, they did have a couple of other notes of interest. Christian Ramirez did return to training after all. Now, there's a very much a love-hate relationship with the fans there. He had removed any mention of Aberdeen from all the social media. That led to speculation that he might not be coming back, but they have been linked with a couple of strikers. One that they have been heavily linked to was Tobias Lauritsen from Odds in the Norwegian League, I believe. And he's also been linked to Sparta Rotterdam as well. But again, none of these players have cards. Even Liam Scales doesn't have a card. But the other one that they were linked to tonight, and I just seen this because I'm on EE and I've had no signal all day, was an interesting one with Liam Boyce. One of our cards were given away, being potentially linked to Aberdeen. So that's an interesting one. Obviously, they're looking to splash the cash. You know, they've got weekend warriors. They've got the money in the hipper and they're ready to spend it. So, yeah, I think that'll be interesting. We can quickly move on to Celtic. Obviously, we mentioned Benji Sigrist, a 4-year deal that they signed there. And it looks like they're on the brink of signing a left back, which could be bad news for any Greg Taylor holders. Young lad from Lannis, Alexandro Bernabe. And from all accounts, it looks like a solid player. I think he's only 21. Was sent off at the weekend for an alleged headbutt. I've seen the video. I've sneezed closer to people than that. Do you know what I mean? And the boy went down. So yeah, that could be an interesting one. The other one that was linked with a move away was Juranovic, but that's been rubbished. He's been linked to the English Premiership, but there was various sources were rubbishing that. So that'll be an interesting one to see where that goes. I don't know if you've seen anything else in terms of the mighty Celtic.
No, not really. Luca Connell, obviously, there's no card for him, but he moved to Barnsley. He was signed as quite a sort of highly rated prospect. It must be about 3-4 seasons ago now, but didn't end up playing, just kept on going out on loan. I suppose we're mentioning these players in the hope that when the next edition of cards come, you know, so for example, like with Aberdeen, if there's an Anthony Stewart card that's released, well, we will touch on these again in later podcasts. But the reason that we're mentioning these players, even though they don't have a card, is just so that listeners have got an awareness to some of the movements. But nothing else on Celtic.
Yeah, I think one of the things to be aware of is where positions are being signed. You know, if you see, you know, a team's got an established striker and a new striker's coming in, that might be, you know, an alarm bell for you. Onto your club now. I've skipped my club. No point talking about them. We're relegated. So I moved on to Dundee United. Obviously, new manager in. A manager who rejected Dundee. Dundee rejected him. You know, whichever way you want to look at it. Probably the latter. Not really. Probably the former. And he's announced as new manager, Jack Ross. And he's made no, or wasted no time in being linked with one of his former players, or certainly from his former club, St Mirren, that was Jamie McGrath, was being linked to Dundee United. He was one of the players at St Mirren who was, you know, highly touted and always seemed to do very well. And the other thing I've got written down from Dundee United is goalkeeper still needed. And so that was my only United notes. I don't know if you've got anything else there, Russ, or what you think of the Jamie McGrath link.
Yeah, the Jamie McGrath. Obviously, he moved for a fee from St Mirren to Wigan, and obviously will be under contract. I don't know what the situation is in relation to whether he's being allowed to move or not. I don't know if Wigan have plans for him or not. However, certainly Jack Ross seems a fan from a personal point, and I'm not going to dwell on it too long because I'm aware of the time, but delighted as a Dundee United fan that Jack Ross has come in. From sort of just what I listened to his 20-minute YouTube video on the Dundee United sort of official channel today, I quite like the way, you know, he comes across. I reckon there'll be a good element of... I think he's quite a disciplinarian. I think so that sort of bodes quite well. The one thing that I did see, and I've got a little bit of dubiety on it, is Ian Harkes was on the Dundee United website as having signed a new deal last week, and the article has been removed from the official website at the moment. It had said that he had penned a one-year deal. The reason that I obviously found it a little bit dubious was the fact that I'd obviously seen pictures on social media of him, you know, on holiday, which basically meant that he certainly wasn't in the manager's office having penned it, unless he'd pre-penned it before he left. So obviously a big fan of Ian Harkes, given his sort of box-to-box work, and I think he picked up the most man of the matches for Dundee United last season. I would like to see him sign a new deal. However, whether he's in Jack Ross's sort of immediate wants list, I genuinely don't know. So yeah, interesting times for my club. On Hearts.
Hearts, 14,000 season ticket holders at Hearts. They've almost sold out their entire allocation for season tickets, which I think is remarkable, especially when they've expanded their capacity a couple of seasons ago. And that has allowed them to, obviously they're going straight into one of the European groups. It's the Europa, well, they're guaranteed Europa Conference, aren't they? They've got a Europa League qualifiers, but they're guaranteed to be in the Conference League as a worst. But they've got two players that they've been linked with six-figure fees for. One was Alex Cochran, who was on loan at them last season from Brighton. That's looking very close to being a done deal. I picked him up yesterday in limited form. And the other one who's been linked, and it looks as though it's almost a done deal, was Lauren Shankland. And again, that's looking at a six-figure deal. It's not the £500,000 that was being touted. They've apparently negotiated a lesser fee. And if you'd seen Lauren Shankland's face on the picture that I tweeted from his beer shot training day, he did not look like a man who wanted to be there. And I do hope, for Scotland's sake again, that he could come back and maybe get the service that he lacked at United in the Premier League. I do have my dubiety about him as a Premier League striker. He's always performed at the lower league in the Championship, scoring 20s and 30s, but he's not done it in the top flight. So, but given the right service, could that be done? And maybe the right manager or whatever that might be. Obviously, Robbie Nielsen knew him from United, and I would be very surprised if that deal doesn't go through. And that's the two from Hearts beyond their, which I think should be applauded. 14,000 season tickets might not sound like a lot to some of the big clubs. You know, if you're a Man City fan or you're a, you know, you're a Man United fan and you think 14,000, is that all? That's a lot for some of these clubs. And that's going to allow them the opportunity to go and spend money on players, isn't it? So, yeah, that was all I had on them.
The thing with Shankland is obviously that the, depending on the front four, and obviously Liam Boyce now, there has been a few rumours, but a sort of front four of Boyce sitting behind Shankland with knockdowns, etc., and link-up play could be really beneficial for Lawrence. He scored actually quite well in the Challenger for struggling Beerschot, as we know. You know, I hold the card myself. I've got the number one still in the rears. However, one of the key things for me is obviously they've got Barry Mackay, who's a really good player in the Scottish League. But they've also just signed Alan Forrest, who played alongside Shankland before at Ayr United. And I think that could be quite crucial. I'm not going to say it's, you know, like a telepathic understanding, but they're certainly played together and will know each other's gameplay. Yep. The one key thing I've got for Hearts is the contract extension for Peter Haring, who is a really solid, if you're looking for maybe say a threshold midfielder. Somebody asked me today on social media, and that was one of the ones that I gave them. I thought, you know, he's signed at least a 1 year deal. He's obviously looking forward to the European campaign. So that's all I've got for Hearts.
I think Hearts are going to have another big season. I'd be very surprised if they weren't still in that top three position. Just depends on what they add to see if they can kick on any and really put more of a challenge into the top two, really. Hibs, their City rivals. The two things I've got down for them were Josh Doig is being linked with. It was Bologna he was being linked with, but it looks as though Verona have stepped in ahead of them for Josh Doig. Again, paper talk. Until moves actually happen or, you know, offers are actually in. But that's another young Scottish talent potentially going to Serie A, which, again, I mean, obviously Aaron Hickey went there and has done extremely well in Serie A. And the other one that I've got there was Matt Macey, obviously confirmed to go into Luton, and that was confirmed tonight. And the only other one there was Aidan McGeady. That was just a wee bit of paper talk again, and though Lee Johnson was keen on him. I think you mentioned that last week there as well, Russ.
Yeah, I've got in my notes here this week for the Hibs, like you say, I've got Kyle McClelland joined. There's no card for him, but he left Rangers. He was in their sort of development squad, and he's joined Hibs. Matt Macey, we both talked about that at the time that David Marshall was rumoured, we both said that we thought Matt Macey would move to the Championship. I think in episode 4, I think I mentioned three clubs, and I think Luton and Millwall were certainly two of the ones I mentioned, and he's ended up at Luton Town for a six-figure fee, where I would think he will be the number one, so I don't think there's going to be a disaster in relation to MD Card holding there, but that's pretty much all I've got for Hibs as well, yeah.
Yeah, the next three clubs are pretty straightforward. Killy, obviously there's no cards in the game, they just got their goalkeeper though, they got Zach Heyman back from Middlesbrough. Livingston, absolutely sweet FA. Motherwell was sweet FA until tonight. They've signed Paul McGinn from Hibernian. So that's a great signing for Motherwell. I think he could do very, very well there. I'm probably going to look to pick up his limited card again because I sold mine. So I probably will look to pick that back up. I think he could do very well there at Motherwell, Russ.
Yeah, I think he'll probably play. I would expect him to play just inside Stephen O'Donnell as probably the right centre back. But also, if O'Donnell's out, he'll cover at right back for him. That's a pretty solid signing for Motherwell. He's certainly got a few years left in him. So yeah, good one there. The only one other thing I've got for Motherwell, sorry, just before we move on. And again, I put it. It's on the Twitter anyway. But Justin Amaluzor, I think is how you pronounce it, has left for Aldershot. So don't buy his card because he's got no chance of scoring any points.
Very true. Ross County, they've made three signings. None of them have got cards. I'll just zip through their names. We've got George Harmon signed from Oxford City, left back. And then they signed two midfielders, Jan Danda, who previously was of Swansea, and Victor Loturi from Cavalry in Canada. Interestingly, Dundee are actually linked with his brother. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, that was the three there at Ross County. I haven't seen anything else there worth a mention, to be perfectly honest.
I think Jan Danda will be a direct replacement for Blair Spittle. I know him through my sort of aware of Jan Danda through the sort of fantasy football stuff and things that I do. I think he'll actually be, again, I would quite like to see, hopefully, that in the new season, there's maybe a card for him. I think he'll do quite well. I think he'll get quite a lot of opportunities, and I think he'll get a lot of starts. And certainly I know that they're really, really excited in the Highlands about his arrival.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen the videos that they were hyping him up with. So, yeah, that's a good one. Obviously, as I say, no cards there just now. St Johnstone, still in need of a goalkeeper. They were linked with the Kilmarnock backup. I can't remember his name. I haven't got it written down. I was supposed to go and look that back up today. But they're still looking for their goalkeeper. Obviously, Xander Clark on the move. So that's another team still in need of a goalkeeper. I did see today, interestingly enough, Gary Woods of Aberdeen was linked with a move. Apparently, he has offers north and south of the border. So the north of the border one, I wondered if that could have potentially maybe been a St Johnstone. He has had experience in the first-team keeper at Aberdeen when Joe Lewis has been out, so that'd be an interesting one. And it was Eetu Virtanen. I don't think he's actually got a card in the game. Was looking at being sent back out on loan to Linfield. So not an awful lot from St Johnstone. Obviously, last week, I can't remember if we mentioned Andy Constantine and Jay Wright. I think that was maybe just before the podcast. But yeah, that's the only ones I've actually got for St Johnstone. So again, nothing concrete, just in need of a goalkeeper. So the last one was St Mirren. Again, another Aussie coming to the Prescott Premier League. There seems to be an influx of Aussies. Ryan Strain, I think I've seen his grandfather, I believe, was formerly of St Mirren. I think he's actually in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I just seen that tonight. And the other one was Toyosi Olusanya, another forward getting brought in there. So that would cast doubt in my mind over the likes of Curtis Main, Eamon Brophy, those kind of boys. I probably would cast a fair bit of doubt over those kind of players if they're bringing in extra forwards. So that's all I've got in terms of actual moves in the Scottish League. I don't know if you've got anything else for that, Russ.
I don't think I've got anything. Obviously, Ryan Strain came from, he's the Aussie that's come from via Israel, Maccabi.
Maccabi Haifa, yeah.
Apart from that, I think Kyle McAllister moved to Forest Green, but there was no, I checked and there's no card for him.
Yeah.
So yeah, just it's been quite a sort of slowish week in general. Like you say, if I was a betting man, I certainly don't think I would be holding Curtis Main too much longer. He's got kind of history for jumping back and forth across the border. The downside is when he jumps back south of the border, it won't be to a Premiership or a Championship club. Yeah. It will be League One, League Two, or potentially even sort of National League level. They also signed, was it Alex Grieve last year that did quite well?
Yeah.
So I would think that. Yeah, I would think that possibly Grieve and Brophy, and then obviously this new lad from the sort of Middlesbrough reserves. So I think that wraps up Scottish news.
Yeah, it certainly does. So, speaking of Scottish news, to round us off for the evening and for the podcast, I say evening, you could be listening to this in the morning. You probably are, because you're probably waiting on what I'm about to say. So, we have done the draw for the team. We thank everybody who entered, and it seemed to work really well, I think, getting everybody to send in the screenshots by DM. It kept away. I did see three or four where it was the same person's iPods. The headphones that were connected on the Bluetooth. I happened to notice the same name because it was a very unusual name. So if you're going to cheat, do it a wee bit smarter than that. However, the draw's been done. I will post this up onto the Twitter page. You can actually see the draw ID. You can go and check it. But the winner of the draw for the team is at So Rarely Minted. And I believe that is Kev T. Now he's fulfilled everything we asked on the request. So, Kev, we will be in touch with you very soon. Congratulations on your win. And we look forward to hearing what prizes you win with that with us.
Absolutely. Well done. Well done to the winner. And like Chris says, we have done this as a singular verified draw that Chris will... I'll leave it to Chris to post all the certainly evidence around that.
Yep.
So yeah, fantastic. Well done. Fingers crossed it's the first of hopefully many giveaways this year.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? I was really glad because it is a listener. It's somebody who's interacted with the account, has interacted with me personally on my account, and I think he's interacted with us as well. So it's somebody that, you know, I'm actually pleased it was a listener. That's why we did it that way. We wanted it to be a listener.
Do you know where he's based, Chris?
Sorry?
Do you know where the guy's based?
England, I believe.
All right, okay.
I believe. So it'll be an Englishman with a Scottish team. So it'll be very interesting to see how the team does. And yep, Kev, we'll be in touch very soon to get your team transferred over to you. I believe three of them are coming from me and two of them are coming from Russ. So we'll get that sent over to you. And if anybody wants to look at anything, you'll see that on the transactions on from my account and from Russ's account. If you have a look at Surrey Data, you'll see that all on there. Very Absolutely. Transparent. So, yes, I don't think I've got anything else to cover off tonight because we didn't get a challenge last week, Russ. Have you got one to hit me with? Or
no, I'm still behind on it. So I'm going to make it something hard. You know,
right? You're getting a challenge for next week, then, right?
Okay.
I want five players who have names of, I don't know, let's say automobiles.
Okay.
Okay. I've no idea if there are any. I've just literally pulled it out my arse. So we'll see what you can find on that one. So we'll go with you doing it.
Happy days.
At least there's no porn stars, eh? So
absolutely.
Yes, so thank you to everybody that's listened. Thank you to everybody that entered the competitions. And thank you for your continued support. And gracias to all our Spanish listeners and for keeping us at number one. Let's see what other countries we could get to number one, or at least top five, and Russ can expand his vocabulary. So without further ado, I will let you go for the evening. I believe the Spanish term for see you later is hasta luego. And we will speak to you next week. Take care, guys.